this date in football history.
All right, pop quiz for the boys here. Ozone Fat Tony, who is the only running back in history, at least the first one, I don't know if it's been accomplished since, to run for 100 yards in each of his first three games?
First running back?
The first running back to do it. Happened within the last 10 years. 100 yards plus.
Arian Foster.
Not Arian Foster. It's a good one, though. It's a good guess.
I had nothing.
Cadillac.
Oh!
Remember when Cadillac Williams burst on the...
Yeah.
Who was it? It was Ronnie Brown, it was Cadillac, and it was Cedric Benson, right? Yeah. Three top five picks at the running back position that year.
Oh, those were the days.
Will you ever see that again in the National Football League? But no. It was September 25th, 2005. Cadillac Williams went for $1.58, became the first player in history to start his career with three consecutive 100-yard rushing games, and his total of 454 yards in the first three games beat the record of Alan Ameche. Unitas gives to Ameche, and the Colts are the champions of the world.
That's right.
That record stood forever. I saw, by the way, I noticed as I was looking through some of this date and football history stuff, when Tom Dempsey kicked the record field goal of 63 yards, the record was 56, and it had held for like 15 years. It's a pretty big jump right there. Bob Beamon-esque kind of jump into the stratosphere. This date in football history brought to you this week by the best fence company of Jacksonville, their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price for you while providing unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, the Jags are getting set for a cross-country trip to San Diego on Sunday, where they will probably be facing the Chargers without their leading tackler, Manti Te'o, who is dealing with a fractured bone in his right foot. Te'o said that he doesn't know exactly when during the Buffalo game last weekend he injured that foot, and his head coach, Mike McCoy, has confirmed that Te'o has the foot injury officially week to week right now. He did not practice yesterday, and as of now, is not expected to play on Sunday against the Jags. James Harrison back in the NFL, and as is the way with these kind of things, as he was being reintroduced by the Pittsburgh Steelers, Harrison was asked about his 2008 arrest for hitting his girlfriend, with domestic violence being such a hot-button topic right now in the league and society in general. Harrison's quote in response to that question is this, quote, "It was something that happened, an unfortunate situation, and right or wrong, everybody makes mistakes. I learned from it and grew from it. I'm where I'm at now."
Unfortunate. Unfortunate indicates to me, like, I was bad luck.
Yeah. It was something that happened, yeah, because you did it. An unfortunate situation because you put yourself Right or wrong, everybody makes mistakes. It sounds like the rehab has really done wonders for Mr. James Harrison.
Right or wrong, whatever.
Sky Sports and the NFL have agreed to a new five-year deal that will allow the network to carry the NFL playoffs, Super Bowl, Monday Night Football, as well as up to five live NFL games a week, and the NFL Red Zone channel. This is from the Sky Sports release. Quote, "From 2015, Sky Sports viewers will be able to enjoy over 80 live fixtures a season."
Fixtures.
It's still a soccer country, including up to five games each week of the regular season, the playoffs, and Super Bowl. Sky Sports coverage will also include all matches from the NFL's international series as teams travel to the UK for regular season matchups.
Including the Jacksonville side show up.
Tonight, week four of the NFL season kicks off. The 1-2 New York Giants heading to D.C. to take on the 1-2 Washington Redskins. The game is on CBS and the NFL Network. Jim Nantz and Phil Sims on the call. Sims, if you remember, is one of the broadcasters who said that he will not use the term Redskins when referring to the Washington football team, so it's something to watch for tonight.
Drinking game in the offing, perhaps, tonight with Phil Sims. If he's purposely not going to try to say it, though, you're going to have to chug, I think, anytime he says it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, otherwise, then the whole purpose is to consume alcohol as quickly as possible. I remember those wonderful days.
And I haven't seen it yet, but apparently the season premiere of South Park last night was basically a lampooning of the Redskins and Goodell. I'm making it a point to watch it today.
Deadspin had the highlights
on the
site last night.
No mercy over there at South Park.
No, they don't. And I haven't watched South Park in I don't know how many years it's been, but
it's still good.
The commentator said it had kind of died down a little bit, they felt, in the last couple of years, but this year has come back with a vengeance.
They had some fun with Bane last season, so.
I don't know. Haven't seen it. South Park guy?
With Blaine.
Bane.
They probably did. At some point, they had to have done something along those lines.
I was a long, long time ago. I mean, I like the show. I don't make it a point to watch it anymore.
I don't either. I get there's too many other things going on, but I've never found South Park to not be laugh out loud funny. At least something in that show every week is laugh out loud funny. Not funny unless you may be on the opposing offense. The Jags' defensive performance the first 3 weeks of the season. Not all the defense. We've had, you know, a couple of defensive scores against them, but 34, 41, 44 points the first 3 weeks. However you add it up, it has not been good.
No, it's a lot of points.
That's
why I'm here is to provide that sort of insight.
You can add those numbers together. You can tell me that is a high quantity.
Well, and it's been talked about and asked about. It's been a huge topic this week. And I think the overall impression is that the front four is not playing as bad as perhaps people think.
Okay.
And there is an issue in the back seven with one guy on obviously very, very, very many plays being out of position, and they've got to get that fixed.
When you say one guy, you mean one guy, and it could be a different guy the next play.
Right. I mean,
it's a series of one guy being out of position.
It might be a safety not coming over on one and allowing a third and seven to get picked up when it shouldn't. You know, the deep passes, we all saw Chris Brzezinski bite and it go over his head against Philadelphia.
Yep.
So just too many things like that. And as Roy Miller said on Monday, that's what sort, you know, anyone singling a guy out back there, but those kind of plays are what kill you because you don't get to fight. You don't get to live to fight another day. And he said, we've got to get teams off the field. We have to get to third and five and at least have a shot to get these people on the field. So it's an issue. There were changes made at linebacker with JT Thomas starting and with Josh Evans starting. And those are the changes we're all going to talk about because those are tangible starting lineup changes. But the entire back seven has to get to where they're not making one key mistake every series.
You agree, though, that they were the most obvious examples? Those positions were the most obvious examples?
Yeah, and I think at corner, I think Dwayne Gratz is obviously struggling, got pulled out a couple times. I think at corner, there wasn't a alternative where they said, yes, we're going to be – there's a drop-off between Gratz and Demetrius McCray right now. So you don't want to put in where there's going to be a drop-off at that point.
Is that one of the most surprising things to you early this season, his play?
Well, yeah, because I think he's clearly got the ability, and there are clearly stretches where he plays well. But then there's been a few stretches where he hasn't played well, where they've had to pull him out and sort of get him reset. Gus likes to talk about getting the guy to the sideline and, you know, sort of getting his head back on straight. And, you know, that really can't happen as a corner because if that happens as a corner, you're going to get beat deep and you're going to get first downs and you have guys running free. So I don't think they've lost faith that Gratz can do it. I think they want more consistency out of him and everybody else.
I think you just compare it to the Winston guy. I think Winston guy we knew, you know, at times gets over aggressive, mental errors, things like that. And we've seen all those things come to fruition.
He's
the first
more of a
weeks.
Strong safety versus a free safety, which Jonathan Cyprian's going to be the strong safety on this team. That's what he got drafted to be, and they're trying to figure out what to do with that other position. Winston guy, I'm not sure that fits what he is to be back there kind of playing that center field role. I think it fits Josh Evans a little bit more, and that's why he's been a little bit better when he's been on the field than Winston guy. The bigger disappointment to me is, look, they went out and targeted Dakota Watson and basically created a position on this defense for him to play, that auto, and he got hurt, so he couldn't come in until the very end of training camp and the preseason, and it looks like he's still playing catch-up at this point in time. But Leroy Reynolds isn't suited for that position. He's more of a middle linebacker.
Right.
And so the fact that both of those guys can't get the job done there, and now we're talking about JT Thomas coming into the lineup, that to me is that, I mean, that we're at week four and they're already having to make that kind of decision is pretty damning to me for those two guys.
I think, though, that when you talk about Leroy Reynolds, it's almost a feather in his cap that he was able to do it as much as he did.
Sure.
Because he really physically does not match a description of what
Leroy Reynolds
is
the kind of guy you want to have. You want to have him as a backup who can play a lot of different positions and be a really good special teams player. He's a free agent rookie who is an athletic guy, makes plays, but probably is not ready to be a starter yet, particularly outside. He's a good backup for Paz. It's certainly if you targeted Dakota Watson with the idea that he was going to be an impact guy, then certainly that's a disappointment after 3 weeks.
You know, at the same time, though, you look at that level of free agent signing.
That was my point.
You're trying to divine a guy who's never started in the NFL.
Right.
You're guessing on a skill set with a minimal investment. You know what I mean? This does nothing to their future flexibility or anything.
Right.
You're going to have your shares of swings and misses. And, oh, by the way, we're only three games in, and here's a guy who missed most of the offseason. So I don't think you can categorize him as a complete miss at this point anyway.
I think when people heard that they were designing a position around him, yes, they did, but I don't think it's true that they were designing the entire defense around Dakota Watson's skill set and I think he was going to be an impact guy.
Right.
But certainly they wanted him to be the starter and to be solid at the auto. And now they're trying to figure out a way to get more solid at the auto using a backup middle linebacker, JT Thomas. It's not ideal.
All right, coming up, our buddy Richard Miller, Miller on Sports, going to join us here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. We'll continue to look ahead to the Jags and the San Diego Chargers doing battle this Sunday, 4:05 local time kick for us here. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony. We'll be joined by Richard Miller coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, where are we on this switchfoot? We are one tonight. I have no idea. Still have no idea. I've forgotten what the other ones were. I got nothing for you. What do you got? Anything?
Switching
quarterbacks?
No?
Nope.
Tripping on a hole in a paper heart was the last one.
Don't know what... I have no idea. So this is either really a good theme today, or this is
I continue to go
really
back to
a bad theme
90s
today.
Rock.
Hey, it could be 90s rock.
It is not 90s rock.
I wasn't sure about Switchfoot when they fit into the whole landscape.
Switchfoot came around in the late 90s.
Did they?
Now, they really hit it in the mid-2000s, but they were a Christian alternative band that started in the late 90s.
So that was post-Pearl Jam's second album.
Yes.
As I've told you many times.
That's
the last new music that I'm aware of. So that's what we've got. Richard Miller's here with us. Miller on Sports Tuesday nights on 1010XL from 8 until 10 o'clock and on Twitter at Miller on Sports as well. What's up, buddy?
Howdy. How's it going? Good to see you.
It's going very well. How are you?
Do I get a guess? I was going to say maybe RG3 with the switch foot. It's kind of mean.
Anything RG3 related?
It is not RG3 related.
No? Manti Te'o was a broken foot.
Ooh.
No.
Great guess. Three injuries in the last 13 months.
The first song was Blink-182, Not Now, by the way.
Yeah.
So Blink-182, STP, and Switchfoot. There you go.
That does not help.
Has anyone guessed 90s rock?
I think someone did.
All right.
One search light.
Are they from San Diego or something?
Yes, they are from San Diego. There you go, Tony. Good work.
Like, I was wondering why she just mentioned the three band
names. I knew I had to give you a little hint. There you go.
Okay,
that's
good. Nothing to do with the songs.
I'll put that in the good category.
Oh, I got it. All the bands are from San Diego.
Yes.
Attaboy, Ozone.
Right. Cone of Silence. And,
Switchfoot. Okay, gotcha.
Oh, why did you say so earlier? All right, Richard Miller. Obviously the carrying 0-3 record, but is this kind of the reset button been pushed now? Is the season, you're looking at it from a completely different viewpoint from this point forward?
I think so, and you all have talked about it all week that it's Blake Bortles' team now, first career pro start coming up on Sunday, and it feels so different watching the All-22 this morning that so many things happen that, you know, the first four or five passes on Sunday were kind of in that poor, bad range, but still with his legs, it opens up so much more with Bortles, and I think it really, Allen Robinson has a good chance to play well on Sunday. They hooked up a few times, and you're seeing these passes that, even with pressure around his legs or moving around from that Bjorn Werner sack and turning it into a 36-yard gain, that, you know, there are opportunities with this offense that we did not see with number 7. And like we talked about during the break, even though it is San Diego and even though this is probably a top 10, top 12 team, that the Jaguars have a chance to win. It might be slim, but there's a chance to win.
Yeah, you said, I think just having the confidence that the quarterback can get something going offensively, or at least the hope that he can, lets you feel like you have kind of a fighting chance at least going into these football games. It's going to be a tough game regardless. I mean, we just talked about how they played Seattle, arguably still the best team in football 2 weeks ago there, and handled their business pretty convincingly against them. So they're the clear-cut favorites going into this football game. One of the questions we're asking today is, though, the presence of Blake, maybe the switches they've made on the offensive line, all the different factors going into it. Are we going to start seeing the running game picking up, in your estimation?
I think so. I think at least a little bit, slightly. I talked to Hayes Carline on Tuesday night. We were both in agreement that there's a very good chance that on Sunday that we'll see Blake Bortles go over 50, 60 rushing yards on Sunday. He brings so much with that read and everything. Denard Robinson a little bit more, and I think it opens up everything. But as well, John mentioned it, that the offensive line, with all these starts that they're acquiring, Jed Fish mentioned it yesterday, that Zane Beatles has the most starts among all those five guys along the offensive line. So with that, I think the running game, Toby Gerhart, I think we'll see more of Storm Johnson and Denard. I think, yeah, it's going to open up more in these next few months.
I think we'll feel potentially feel better about the way the O-line is playing because, you know, the quarterback it can not only help you out by scrambling to extend the player, taking off with his feet, and just physically avoiding sacks. It's what you do with pre-snap reads. You'd expect Chad Henne to be good in that department as well, but you know, it's all those different things. You can make your offensive line look better than they are. I mean, I don't think anybody the offensive line in Green Bay, for instance, has been a struggle in recent years, but Aaron Rodgers finds a way to overcome it because that's what great players do.
And I think you're going to see if they can get the read option working a little bit with Blake going one way, it opens things for Denard to go the other way. And that's, you've got to get him in some space. They've talked all offseason about the need to get some big runs because every team in the league is going to have 2 yard run, 1 yard run, 2 yard run. And then you pop one, all of a sudden your average looks a lot better. That's what they're looking for. That's why Denard needs to get in the game, a change of pace. And then you have a mix. And then when Gerhart's in, he can do his thing where he runs a stretch play for 5 or 6 or gets one up the middle for 7 or 8 like we saw against Philadelphia. It's got to become the whole package. And what we've been waiting on all season is for that whole package, especially up front, to start getting together, start getting a little better, a little better. I think they got a little better last week. They started running a little bit. It was not 150 yards, but it was at least where you had Denard and Toby getting 30, 35, and then Blake got 30. That's the sort of run production you can expect early until they really get it going.
I would think any quarterback, you know, it sounds overly simplistic to say he throws it to the open guy, right? But do you get that sense that for both of you that he's going to develop favorite receivers, or is he really the guy that, as we were talking with Jeff the other day, who's described, Allen Robinson may not be in the right place. He doesn't care. If he sees him open, he's going to get him the football. And I kind of get that sense from Blake that right now it's just like if it's wearing a teal, black, and white, it's going to get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cecil and Allen Robinson will get the ball more because I think they're the best two receivers on the field right now. I think Blake's sort of instinctively knows if he throws the ball at Allen Robinson that he's got the ability, he's got the size to make a play on the ball that maybe none of the other receivers on the field have right now. He probably also instinctively knows that Cecil Shorts is going to be in the right spot more often than not, as evidenced by the touchdown the other day where they read each other and they got the play. So it makes sense that you would use your better two receivers more, but overall he does show a tendency to look where the open man is, which is right now what you'd expect him to do.
And this is the week for pre-snap reads and kind of keeping your eyes moving because the cornerbacks are very good for San Diego. Even though their secondary has zero interceptions, they probably have one of the better safeties in the league in Eric Weddle, who almost became a Jacksonville Jaguar. So the eyes always have to keep moving, Tony. You got to find, yes, that open man, look to see, make sure the safety's not coming over. But like we saw a handful, if not more times on Sunday, that he's going to hit those tight windows, find the guy, and get that extra yardage after the catch.
Yeah, and it's something, John, I was talking to you about this a moment ago as I was watching the tape on the Jags again today, just Bortles basically in the second half of the game, and he already uses his eyes really well. For a guy that's a rookie and he's going into his first career start playing his first half in the NFL, there were a couple occasions where you saw that head move from one to two, and even specifically the play to Allen Robinson when they're backed up on their own end of the field, where I think he read it before the snap, this is where I want to go with the ball, and he kept his eyes in the middle of the field so that the safety couldn't get a read on where he wanted to go with it until he could make the throw that he wanted to Allen Robinson. And for a rookie to have the head to basically know that I need to do this if I'm going to make that throw is pretty impressive. And there were at least three occasions where I saw him, all right, get off number one, I need to go to another spot and make the read, make the throw. That doesn't mean he's not going to make mistakes. He will. I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes doing that kind of thing. But it was impressive for a guy that's making his first half of football out there. It's unreal the way he uses his eyes already, and we saw it in the preseason too.
Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, Richard Miller joining us. Miller on Sports Tuesday nights at 8 right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. By the way, you're in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat in case you're feeling
a little warm.
I thought so. defensively, this team has been extremely disappointing coming out of the gates. A couple of lineup changes that John and Tony and I were discussing right before you got here, whether it's due to that or just due to simply improve play. You got to believe that the defense is going to play better at some point, but how surprised are you with the start that they've had on that side of the football?
It's been a struggle. I'd say Roy Miller's probably played the best, most consistent through these first 3 weeks. And I was talking to Andre Branch yesterday in the locker room, and he was talking about Donald Brown and the run game for San Diego. Ryan Matthews out, of course, for a few more weeks. Danny Woodhead going down with the leg injury that he talked about. It could be for the season, but definitely the first 4 to 6 weeks that the San Diego offensive line is the most physical, the most will-imposing offensive line that Jacksonville will face this year. And he talked in depth about that. And even you consider they're without their center, Nick Hardwick. He's out for a while. So you look at that. I think this is a good opportunity this week for Jacksonville to take advantage of that. You look at Donald Brown. Really, he's the only healthy guy with a lot of experience, especially when it comes to pass protection. Now, we understand that Phillip Rivers can do a lot even without that.
They've got an issue if they let Donald Brown run on them this week. Donald Brown had 31 carries for 62 yards last week. So as good as that O-line may be, he couldn't capitalize. Now, Buffalo's got a good run-stopping front four, to be certain. But I think they miss Danny Woodhead. Maybe it doesn't show up this week, but he is a key cog in that offense. Anytime they're in two-minute situations, anytime they're behind in the second half, he's on the field a lot. He can run it, but he's particularly dangerous catching that out of the backfield.
And Ziggy Hood, Andre Branch, they talked about it. Of course, it's Phillip Rivers. It starts and ends with him, but we mentioned it during the break that there are four or five legitimate guys in this Chargers offense that can go for 30-plus and a touchdown like that. You've got two tight ends. You mentioned Floyd, who's just really, really impressive. Eddie Royal. So there are a lot of options for the San Diego offense to break loose, but good opportunities for Josh Evans, Cyprian, to get some big hits and impossible interceptions and make this a chance for Jacksonville on the West Coast.
Well, and that's the dangerous thing for this. I don't think it's impossible for the Jaguars to stop the run this weekend. The key is this has been a team so far this season that has given up big plays because of mental errors or missed tackles, particularly in the back seven. Phillip Rivers is a quarterback who I think we all know can see those kind of things developing. If you make mental errors against Phillip Rivers in this skill set that San Diego has offensively, you're going to lose. So they have to tighten that up. You can't have double-digit missed tackles, and you can't have double-digit mental errors on Sunday.
How do you think they'll play this weekend, Richard?
Jags. I think I want them to keep it close, maybe within 10, 12 points in the second half. That's my hope. But San Diego's really good. They're well coached. I think Phillip Rivers is having one of his better years. And we remember last October's game here in Jacksonville. I think he had 4 incompletions. It was something like 83% completion percentage. He is playing fantastic. That offense is tremendous. I know you talk fantasy football all the time. San Diego's really, really good. I want it to be close, but I think Bortles can throw for over 300 and have 25 plus completions and 2-3 touchdowns.
And that, just for that reason, I mean, I think there's the unknown factor, the excitement of the unknown, the curiosity of what's going to happen this week that, realistically, you look at it objectively, all those things you lay out, you say, Blake Bortles is not going to make them defend the pass any better than they have so far early this season, but yet you still go in thinking, maybe he can overcome that. And you just have that curiosity of what could possibly happen, I think, is why this will be the most anticipated game of the season so far.
I think what you'd love to see, we talked about defense, what you'd love to see offensively, we all saw Blake in the second half, and boy, have we been critical today, Mike, right?
Oh, just crushed
right.
The guy.
So, but what you'd like to see is if that same energy, if the same life, if the same movement on offense and the feeling that, okay, this team can now move the ball. You don't really know how real the second half was the other day because it was it was such a blowout. It was 30 points. So it's easy for people to make the argument, well, were the Colts trying? Well, was this going on? Well, it was so far down, maybe he was at a disadvantage. There's so many things you can look at and argue both sides of the coin with how Blake really played, how the Jaguars' offense really played, how the whole team played. Because they won the second half 17-14. So there are people who are saying, hey, they were dead even. Other people saying, hey, the game was over, don't worry about it. Now you get a complete game where you can look at it and say, yes, Blake Bortles from the start was making some reads, making some errors. Yes, it did help the running game. The Chargers were clearly on their game early, and it helped the running game or it didn't. So you'd like to see some of the positives, some of the things Tony was talking about, translate when the game is not out of hand, when everything's sort of playing with a full deck, if you will.
Richard Miller, Miller on Sports Tuesday nights. Where else can we catch you? What's going on with Richard Miller these
days? Let's see. I'm on I Know Jax, which airs Saturdays and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on CW17. Of course, the 10:10 at 10, and just about anywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Miller on Sports, Tuesdays, 8 to 10.
Just about,
just
right,
just about anywhere.
Just come right up to me.
Yeah. Hey, Richard.
If I'm not on the air at the time, I just sit out by the sidewalk hoping somebody
sports.
Comes up. And
oh, I always have a name
Jags.
Tag on, you know, some headphones on.
I'm Richard
on.
Miller. Just like now. You can't see it.
But anyway.
We had the webcam. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, stop by anytime. There he goes, Richard Miller, Miller on Sports. Check him out in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat. And, of course, Tuesday nights, Miller on Sports, 8 to 10 right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Coming back, we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asking you, is this the week the Jags finally get the running game going? We'll see what you had to say about that as we continue along. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL. 92.5 FM. This is Slightly Stupid, spelled S-T-O-O-P-I-D, Sweet Honey by Slightly Stupid, who I happen to know are a San Diego-based outfit.
Have you ever seen them in concert, Mike?
I've never heard of Slightly Stupid.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Before.
I've seen them in concert. They're good.
Seconds ago. Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you see them in concert?
In Gainesville.
You did?
Yes.
They'll take anybody in Gainesville.
Well, then.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. All right, there you go. Your theme today was San Diego-based bands as the Jags heading out of San Diego to take on the Chargers. Of course, with that, Blake Bortles' presence can loosen things up, hopefully, for opposing defenses to have to contend with. Jags offensive line got a couple new starters last week that by most accounts fared better than the guys they replaced and maybe help with Austin Pastor, although maybe another week away on that. So we asked you today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight, will the Jags get the running game going this week? Tony, what kind of response do we get?
Here's what we got from at Irish Jaguar: with a passing attack that hopefully won't be inept, opposing teams won't be able to simply stack the box. That should open lanes for Toby Dennard and even Blake. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Paolo, we got only if we get more of D-Rob. Hashtag free Dennard. From John, let's hope so. Keeping fingers crossed. Next should be better. Pitt has an old man at linebacker. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag stuck in PA. Sorry, John. From Issachar, we got, of course, since now offense is less predictable, Bortles plus Dennard. Yes, please. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Eric, I don't think so. San Diego is good against the run, and historically we play bad on the West Coast. Hashtag Jaguars today.
I got several on the Facebook page, including this one from Steven said, I hope so, but not counting on it. I'd like to see it first before I can believe in it. Bortles will have the most rushing yards for the team this week. I think that is very conceivable that he will, although not a positive for the Jags. I wouldn't guess if that's the case.
Well, you wouldn't want it every week. If it happens once in a while, it's
sure.
Not, is that a terrible thing? You certainly saw last week where that read option with him getting around to the outside is an effective play that if it hits a couple of times, he could lead the team in rushing with 40 or 50 yards, but you want Gerhardt or Robinson, somebody to run for more than that.
Yeah, you would think so. You would hope so. I don't think it's...
I think that's coming. I don't know if it happens this week, but I think improvement in that area is coming as this offense starts to find out more about what it can do well consistently.
And we'll take, like you said, I mean, because a lot of teams have it this way. If you average a good yards per carry, 4 or 5 yards, it's oftentimes 1 yard, 2 yard, mm-hmm. 20 yards. And that's just the nature of running in the National Football League. So we'll take anything right now. I'd like
And that's where a little spread out, which is what you're going to get with Bortles, that's where that starts coming into play. If you're a little more spread out, then you have a little more opportunity to pop the big ones. That's what's been missing so far. And that's what Blake's presence might bring.
I'd just like to get to the point, though, where, I mean, it just seems like 4 out of 5 runs are getting stopped for no gain or loss of yardage. You know, that may not be accurate, but that's kind of how it feels.
Where's he out?
Right. So, and then you have the results that we've had the last couple of weeks.
Because you're only getting a yard or two with no 20. I mean,
Right.
So it feels like there's nothing in the running game. They're getting 2 yards. I mean, that's what they've been able to accomplish this point in the season, and their big runs are 6. I mean, that's what the Jaguar offense has been to this point. It was a little bit better last weekend. You hope that it's going to continue to take steps forward as we go. They brought back that little toss play that worked well in the preseason for Denard. It worked well last week with Denard and Todman. Both ran that play effectively. That seems like a play that should become more a part of this offense going forward.
Todman's just kind of what right now? I mean, I thought he had a really good off season for most of it, right up until training camp. I mean, he consistently was the one guy breaking long runs and what have you. As far as he goes right now, it's kind of injury insurance and not much else.
Yeah, will be interesting because clearly Gearhart remains the starter, and Denard's clearly a guy they're going to try to get in to split carries. And then Gus, after practice the other day, was very, very praising of Storm Johnson and said there's going to be talk about trying to get him active. Well, if that happens, you would figure it's going to be Todman who's not active.
Right.
So the better Storm Johnson gets, the less Todman plays. So that is an issue to watch going forward. If Storm Johnson is indeed coming on, then you would think you're going to –